Hi, everyone. If we've not met, my name is Glenn. Together with Amanda, we lead Freedom Vineyard, one family in two locations, Dartford and New Ash Green. And I've got a real big challenge for you. So if you're a visitor here today, you're completely off the hook. And even if you've been coming a long time, then you're still not on a massive hook. Over the last 4 months, we've been doing vineyard values, because like this is a vineyard church, and for people coming and settling in, then it's kind of quite helpful to know what kind of mad people that you're joining, and whether you feel mad enough to join us. So here's, if anybody can get one of these, because it's been over 5 months, and that's a massive deal, but can anybody think of any of the values that we've done? And it's a, you know, gold star for anyone who can. Everyone gets to play. Woo! Well done. That's great. That is one of our values. Everyone gets to play anymore. Worship. Yeah, we did. Amanda and Michael did worship. Primacy of our worship, making it accessible, having integrity, having kingdom expectation. There's two more, but we're not going to milk this. Can anybody? Yes. Give it up for Will. Kingdom expectation. We are kingdom people. We are people who believe in God's reign and his wisdom and his inbreaking power. So when Jesus came, he didn't just talk a lot. He actually healed people and he gave people hope. And he went first and he was the first resurrection. Paul calls him the first fruits. So he is our example of what living under God's reign and under his future kingdom, breaking into the now, looks like. And then the last one was the first one that we did was come as you are. So everybody's welcome to come just as they are. You don't actually need to believe the things that we believe. You don't need to behave in a certain way. You can just come as you are. You don't need to put on kind of Sunday best that might be actual or that might be kind of proverbial. You can just literally come as you are and you are welcome. Jesus gave radical welcomes to people. People thought, really? Am I allowed to come near to you, Jesus? And he said, yes. In fact, it's the religious people that had the problem with it, not Jesus. So, and the thought process behind this is just to try and, I mean, obviously we're not going to do values once and then forget about them. We're going to launch out in a new series of teaching from 1st of September, but it felt like we're kind of in this little inflection point before the summer. And so if you're just joining us, this is completely relevant still. But really, what's been happening over the last year or so is this community's come together. All different kind of people coming together, as you would imagine. Lots of people have known each other a long time. For some, this is the first time back in church in a long time, being hurt by church. Others, it's kind of getting attracted to a church that's kind of just on your doorstep. So all different ways of coming together there. But we've been kind of establishing this site, saying, Lord, what do you want to do here in the village? As part of the church. And we've got this momentum going. So we've had a small group launched. So Will, our latest small group leader, so that's great, and that's going great guns. I feel that people are kind of settling. People are kind of up for, you know, like wonderful times of worship, but also when we gather to pray and seek the Lord, feel really momentum there. And I really just sense God's calling to just take that momentum step up one step more. So how do we as a community kind of keep what we've got but build it in a sustainable and incremental way? And that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. So we're going to talk about stepping into the next season. And if you have a Bible, why don't you turn, it'll be on the screen, but if you have a Bible or on your phone, then please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and we'll read together. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. And they will instead suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Then they will turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Okay, really challenging section from Paul here, who was a church planter, like a startup church evangelist, if you like. And he wrote most of like the last third of the Bible that we call the New Testament. And so what Paul is saying in this passage, many things he's saying, but one of the things I want to draw attention to is that we can serve God. We have an opportunity to serve God in every season of our lives. Okay, so we're all going through different seasons of life, some with like young families, others like, you know, your empty nesters and flown the nest. Some people have just come into retirement. We're all at different stages of life. And we're also in different stages of kind of our spiritual and emotional lives, which are kind of not dependent so much on our age, but sometimes we've had hurts, other times we feel the Lord's really encouraging us and bringing us to light. So we have all these different seasons that we find ourselves in. And both in the Bible and in the history books are full of people who have sacrificially served God in the midst of great personal cost and opposition. So one of the things that I'm going to come on to is that Paul says, serve the Lord in season and out of season. And it doesn't really matter what your season is, there's an opportunity to serve. So, you know, it's... doesn't necessarily matter about our circumstances. They will have an effect and they will have a shape, but we can still serve the Lord no matter what season. I want to tell you about a story about Canon Andrew White. He was nicknamed the Vicar of Baghdad. Some of you may have heard of him. God called Andrew to Iraq in 2003, and he became the chaplain of St. George's Church in Baghdad. And this is in 2003, after the fall of Saddam Hussein. We know what happened in Iraq. It was just complete mess, and sectarian violence was just everywhere. Do you know what? He went there despite being diagnosed with MS in 1990. So he had real live active symptoms, but he heard the call from God. And so in 2003, he moved there to this incredibly difficult, war-torn place. And he pastored St. George's, which is home to thousands of people, Christians, Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox. Real diverse crowd. And his resilience in the face of opposition is legendary. He counseled and conducted funerals for families in the church for people who died for becoming because they were Christians and they didn't hide it. That was a weekly occurrence in his church. He would serve the community in both worship services as well as they ran feeding programs, medical programs, education programs in Baghdad. Quite often, as bombs were going off around them, quite literally, and gunfire. So sometimes they were having a worship service and there was gunfire outside and you could hear it. Just incredible, incredible guy. Andrew often met with Sunni and Shia militia leaders to try and stop the bloodshed between them. On one occasion, a known extremist looked him in the eye and said, "Why do you keep coming here? Don't you know that we could kill you?" And Andrew answered, "Because I love you and I love this country. And I believe peace is possible." Amazing. He also lived with constant death threats. One time an insurgent threatened to kill him because he was preaching about Jesus. And he said to the guy, he said, "You can't kill me. I died the day I gave my life to Jesus. And I know that I'm going to live again." It's amazing. And the statement left the gunman silent. Andrew later reflected that the total surrender to Christ removes the fear of death and the fear of opposition, which is why he kept returning to Baghdad even when advised not to. Despite needing constant injections to deal with MS symptoms, and this really challenges me, he would serve relentlessly. His booming voice, joyful spirit, an unwavering faith, despite severe pain and danger, were widely known. You know, when I get the flu, I get quite grumpy. And here's a guy having injections for pain, and he's kind of, you know, full of the joys of the Holy Spirit. So I guess, thankfully, many of us won't have that calling. But we will face opposition and discouragement. And when you follow Jesus and you say yes to wanting to build his kingdom, then basically a target gets placed on you, which the enemy is going to shoot at and try and discourage you and try and discourage your family. In the passage that we've just read, Paul is writing from a prison cell. And he's writing to Timothy, who's a young leader, who's his kind of one of his protégés. This letter is believed to be his last letter that we still have, that we know of. And it's really personal. It's intensely personal. If you read on in chapter 4, there's lots of personal requests in there. He's in the middle of a trial with the Romans, and it's not going well. And he knows that he's probably going to get killed for his teaching about Jesus and just the threat that that causes, you know, the political powers. And indeed, he was martyred after this trial. Despite this, he gives Timothy a really solemn charge. So he says this, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. So whilst Paul here is giving specific advice to a young church leader, there is a command in here for all of us, because we have this scripture. We are all called to make disciples and play our active part in the kingdom of God. We are all essential to the growth of God's kingdom. We've all got different parts to play, and they all look different. Some are up front, some are kind of quite behind the scenes. Some are very obvious, some are almost kind of invisible. They're all equally valued by God in his kingdom, and they're all necessary to reach this community. So everybody gets to play, as we said earlier. Paul tells Timothy to be ready to share the good news about Jesus, both actually inside the church and outside, because later on he says, do the work of an evangelist. So both inside the church, where there were debates and false teaching going on, and he was contending for the truth, but also outside in the culture widely. And he says to do that both in season and out of season. So in and out of season has two main meanings. One is to do with convenience or timeliness. So it's sort of two sides of this coin. We are called to serve God by serving others, whether it's convenient or not. Whether we feel ready or even able to or not. And there is a word of wisdom here, because if we're kind of in crisis or we're in, you know, in a not great place, we are not God. We are limited people. So we need to kind of exercise self-care. We can't just say, well, you know, I'm going to just ignore myself and just, you know, burn out for God. No, there needs to be a bit of wisdom here. But in general, the need to let people know about Jesus is really urgent. And if our lives are sort of just everyday kind of straight and level flight, so to speak, we'll obviously have some good weeks and other bad weeks maybe, but let's follow the way of Jesus. Jesus was constantly interrupted. Constantly interrupted. I think of a time in the scriptures where they'd just been bereaved, John had just been killed, and he and the disciples were retiring to kind of just process that, and then a crowd landed on him. And rather than just saying, look, sorry, not a good day today, his heart was filled with compassion, and he met them. And that's an amazing example. This year I've been doing these things called the Ignatian Adventures. They're like a kind of retreat where you kind of really put yourself in the scriptures and do these exercises. And the thing that struck out to me most is there's a section where you walk with Jesus through his earthly ministry. And just the fact that Jesus' center of being was oriented to other people. His whole center of gravity wasn't about himself, it was about other people. And it's just like, it really kind of clicked for me. It's one of the things that the Lord showed me really clearly, that Jesus was just interrupted. So Jesus did it. Sure, I'm sure, being a human man as well as divine, there's sometimes thought, oh, I'm so tired, I just don't feel I've got the energy for this. But he always turned, even when it was convenient or when it wasn't convenient. But there's also a broader thought here as well. It's about receptivity. And Paul calls Timothy to preach the word whether we think it's going to go down well or not. And for many years in our culture, we've had this kind of underlying belief that maybe people aren't really that interested and there's only a few that are going to hear it. So Alex shared this morning, which came in, that the papers this morning are all over what we call the quiet revival. So God just grabbing people in their kind of late teens and early 20s. People are coming into the church, having met with Jesus. Bible sales are up 88%, is that right? 88% increase in Bibles. And it's amazing. The Lord is stirring young people, and I'm sure that's kind of partly in response. Many people have been praying. There's been a great stirring of prayer over the last few years for revival, and I'm sure that God's honoring that. So I actually believe that very much we're in a season where people are open to God's truths. And actually, if we just actually not, we don't do it harshly, we do it with compassion, we do it with wisdom, but also we do it unapologetically. Even as somebody who's planting a church, I had to learn to be quite bold about the fact that I was starting this church with people at work. And now for me, just to say, this is really good at church this weekend, when I'm talking to people on Monday or Tuesday. And just being really confident about it, and I've had to grow in that. But just you, when you find that you talk about church in an accessible way, people are actually more often than not interested. And it gives you kind of fuel to do more and go, okay. And I'm not sort of saying, oh, hallelujah, I've got the spirit of Bezalel. And all. I'm not saying anything like that. Just saying, we saw healings in church last Sunday. Two people with eye conditions were just healed, which actually happened last Sunday. It's great just to say, look, Jesus is really meeting people and doing really great stuff. Really simple, really accessible. And we can just be really bold. And I believe we're in a time where there's actually openness. So here Paul calls Timothy and us to consistent communication about the good news of Jesus, being faithful to God's command to go and make disciples of all people groups. So I want to ask, what kind of season are you in right now? Because we'll all be in different places on this. For some of us here, we're not yet convinced about all the stuff we're talking about, whether Jesus is God, you know, what's all this about a cross, and we're still on a journey to discovery, and that's absolutely fine. We're so glad that you're here and you're with us, so carry on down that route. For others, we believe in Jesus, but maybe we're in an out-of-season moment. Maybe this is a healing season for you, where you're beginning to reconnect with church, maybe for the first time in a long time. And my question to you is, how is God calling you to serve him in this out-of-season moment? It may look a bit different if you've got more capacity and you're less depleted. So if you're in an in-season moment, you might have more capacity to serve. But if you're in an out-of-season moment, don't disqualify yourself from serving the Lord, because he has good work prepared in advance for you to do, which you will find joy from and you will learn from, and it will be part of your discipleship journey. Yeah. And so if you're looking for a place, and if you feel like this is your family, or you're kind of still kicking the tires, you think, yeah, I'm interested, we've got loads of opportunities. We want to grow children's and youth ministry leaders, because we want to build children's and youth ministry here. We've got a load of technical things. If you're good with sound, if you can run a PowerPoint and do the lyrics, we need that every single time. Why not join hospitality and welcome? We could always have more people. I can't wait for the time we have more worship leaders. It's not me, you know, maybe teaching and kind of being part of the worship band. I just, you know, the heart of Vineyard is to release people into the gifting and calling that they have. It's not about the Glenn Amanda show. This is about, we're only filling gaps. As soon as those gaps are filled, we're going to relinquish them, hopefully, to people who are far more talented than us in that area. That's a win. That's a success for us, okay? So if you're in an out-of-season moment, but there's maybe a small way in which you want to serve, then we would love for you to consider maybe, you know, just helping out with the teas and coffees, or if you're good with techie stuff, we would love help with that. Seriously, that would be so great. There's information at the back about how to get involved, or you can chat to myself or Manda as well. For some of you, you're definitely in an in-season moment. The Lord is really moving in you, and you're really encouraged, and you're actively asking God, how can I serve? And as well as all those things that I've just said that are relevant for you as well, it might be a time to think about those words that God has spoken over you that maybe you need to fan into flame again. That maybe you've had promises that you really believe are from God, but you haven't seen fulfillment yet or seen partial fulfillment. And just ask the Lord what he's inviting you into. Remember, everyone gets to play in the vineyard. Everyone is equally important, no matter what your role. And get stuck in. Another way of connecting is joining a small group. Many of you are in a small group, but I appreciate small groups are not absolutely everybody's cup of tea. But for most of us, it's a great way just to connect and get to know and be known. And actually do church in circles rather than in rows, which is a great way. We also want to grow things like compassion and evangelism. So we already know there's loads of great compassion projects that are going on that many of you are involved in already, and that's great. And maybe the Lord is going to call us to maybe get alongside and resource those, maybe, or maybe he's going to call us to do maybe one or two new things to also like go alongside those things, not to compete with, but just to augment what he's doing in the community. And we're really seeking the Lord for what he's calling us to do in this time. So I just invite you to kind of pray, and it's okay if it's a small step. God does not despise the small things. If it's a small step, that's great. But for some of us, it's a bigger step. And in this moment, we're seeking the Lord because we want to build this momentum, and we just really want to kind of set that DNA in our church family that we're actually starting to reach our community. How amazing would it be to be part of a church where people are coming in, new people are coming in most weeks, and people are regularly giving their lives to Jesus, and they're regularly going on, and we're seeing new, you know, we will send out new church planters from here. Because they're not even in the kingdom yet, but God will save them and then God will call them. And that for me just gives me goosebumps, because I just long to see a church where there's mental thing. Oh, the Lord's doing things. I remember a time in the first Vineyard Church in Dartford where we were growing, we kind of broke the 100 barrier, new people were coming in most weeks, and we just thought, this God's really with us. So we're kind of praying in, Lord, we want to hear from you. What do we do to establish that kind of momentum? Okay? So we can serve in season or out of season. I want to encourage you not to disqualify yourself if you're in an out of season moment. Okay, second 2 points are shorter than the first. Jesus has encouragement for us in the hard times. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And I want to remind us that Jesus has very, very, very real power to comfort and to console us and to strengthen us in our times of troubles. Throughout this letter, Paul speaks about all the trials that he's had, how he's been persecuted, how he's been stoned. And as he's in jail, he's been abandoned progressively by everyone until he feels like he's the only one left. And these other folks who are in the Roman church deserted him because, like, well, hang on, this guy's meant to be the main guy, but he keeps getting locked up. You know, there's no smoke without fire, right? You know, how can this be a credible leader if he keeps on ending up in jail, not realizing that it's like enemy work to put him there? Chapter 4, Paul talks about how Jesus has literally stood by him and strengthened him during his trials, echoing what he's written in other letters where he says, "I can do all things through him who gives me strength." This has been a real learning for Amanda and I, particularly myself, because when I come under pressure or under stress, my natural inclination is not to run towards Jesus, but to internalize and to, you know, there's that thing about like a lion or a hedgehog. The lion roars and like fights in a conflict situation. The hedgehog just rolls up. I am a hedgehog. I can be a bit of both sometimes, but I'm a hedgehog in those situations. I actually find it hard to hear from God when I'm under the cosh. But I've had to learn in these, even the last few months, that the Lord has consolation for each and every one of us in our hardest times. Now, that also comes through the community. So, you know, that also we can be Jesus' hands and feet and kind words to each other. I think that's really important. But equally, just in our own spiritual walk, in our own lives, Jesus can come and meet with you and I really powerfully and give us everything we need. I know from speaking to a good number of people in this room, you've gone through massively difficult trials in your life. And I've heard things like, "I don't think I could have got through it without Jesus." That's exactly what we're talking about. That's what Jesus does. So you guys are actually a model to us about how you can receive encouragement from Jesus and how you can keep persevering and have mental resolve in the face of opposition and attack. And then finally, a lovely thought, God loves to reward his children. And carrying on in 2 Timothy 4 in verse 6, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." He knows that this isn't like a 2-year sentence, it's death. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of the righteous, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on this day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The wonderful news is that our work for God isn't in vain. Even if you've tried things and they so-called failed, which really means they haven't gone the way we thought they would. But I'm sure people got blessed along the way and we've grown through it. If you've done that, the Lord has got a reward for you. And you will see the value in that when you meet him face to face, I know. And even though Paul knows that his life in this age is drawing to a close and the time for his departure is near, he is full of godly confidence. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Not easy when he's been persecuted. He's been stoned to near death, beaten up, left for dead, and facing such hard times that often he says that he despaired of life himself. He looks forward to a day fast approaching where God himself will give Paul a crown of righteousness. And this is a culturally significant symbol of reward. So, the Lionesses are playing tonight. The final, we squeaked in. Although they're much better players. I can't play football for Toffee, so they could run rings around me, quite literally. So they're going to try and win this kind of massive trophy and the title of Euro Women's Champions. And in the Greco-Roman worlds, the athletes competed, and they didn't compete for medals in those days. What they would have is they would have a crown, and somebody important would put the crown on their head. So it had powerful significance for recognizing those who trained hard, competed, and actually won. So you didn't, when you sort of see people on telly with they bring in their kind of Olympic medals and get Olympians, the thing in Paul's day, which you would have had a crown, you would have brought your crown in. Okay, so it's a real symbol of something that's bestowed. And just like an Olympic medal, these crowns that God's going to give us, they actually come from God himself to say, well done, you have succeeded. And it's a great symbol of somebody important giving recognition to all the service that you've given to him. The other thing is, it also speaks of vindication. If you're going to follow the way of Jesus, then there will be times when you're misunderstood. There'll be times when you're accused. There'll be times when your motives are questioned, and even you're accused of, maybe doing the wrong things or doing things out of the wrong motives when you've just tried to keep your heart pure before God. And God sees all this, and by crowning us with glory, he says in this moment, I know the truth, I know what happened, and I'm giving you a crown of vindication as well. So there's that affirmation and that sense from the Lord of well done, good and faithful servants. So friends, remind yourself that your labor is never in vain. Maybe you want to write this verse down. Put it somewhere visible in your home so you can be encouraged every day and remind yourself that God sees what you do, sometimes in secret, and he will reward you. He wants to reward us. And as I said, as we close, we're in a season of taking the next step of building momentum as a church with a focus on how do we do mission. The great thing about mission is that we can all kind of find our place in there. There's only so many upfront roles here and few things, but when we go out and do things in our community, everybody can get involved in a whole manner of different ways. John Wright, who is the national director, or one of the national directors of the Vineyard, he says, we cannot build, maintain, or sustain momentum in the church apart from the breath of God. We cannot build, maintain, or sustain momentum in the church apart from the breath of God. I know that firsthand from kind of when I was in my 20s and trying to do ministry. I was trying to really work hard to kind of grow ministry and come on, Lord, do it. And I realize now that at the time I was rowing, I was doing loads of hard stuff for God, trying to make it happen. But the one thing I wasn't doing was actually just spending time with God and seeing where he was leading. And it's that difference between rowing, which is hard work, and sailing, which is where you kind of you start to appreciate where the wind's coming from, and you raise the sails to catch the wind. And then you set them, and you're actually powered by the wind. I want, we all want in this church to be powered by the wind of the Holy Spirit. We want the Spirit to direct us in the day-to-day and also in the kind of big macro things. So we're in a season as well of praying and seeking the Lord, and that's a real team effort. And we want to really release the prophetic, lean into the prophetic. We want to hear from the Lord what he wants to do. So is it part of partnering with what's already going on? Maybe doing a bit of that, and maybe starting something as well afresh in the village. Maybe for a season, maybe for a long time. Would you pray and share with us what you feel God hearing? That's an invitation, because we want to really capture it. And also we want to pray as a whole community as well. Put some more prayer meetings in the diary. So in closing, whether you're in season or not, Would you be part of the team who's praying and seeking the Lord? Would you maybe take a small step towards kind of just getting involved and serving the community in a practical way and actually just feeling connected and feeling like you can grow through using your gifts? And for some of us, I believe the Lord is inviting you to commit to being a part of the family, jumping in with both feet and saying, yes, I'm up for this. And to share your giftings, like, abundantly and your very person with the rest of the family. And we really want to kind of release what God wants to do here. We really want to capture it. And we want to see this momentum build where we're just coming in and giving thanks to the Lord because new people are coming in. People have been healed. People have been saved. We've had a story of somebody being healed just this morning, just talking to a neighbor, which is really great. So God is very much on the move. So we're going to do a time of ministry now, which is basically where we pray for each other. Amanda's going to come and lead that. But what we're doing is we're kind of changing up the way we do ministry time so that, again, this is a team sport. This is not us at the front doing it. It's like for all of us to hear from the Lord. And so God might give you a word for someone and you can just maybe go along and ask if it's okay to pray. Or it might be a word that it's for someone but you don't know who it is, so we can give it from the front or you can give it. Or it might just be a word for the church as well. So we want to minister to each other. This is a team sport. Everyone gets to play. This is not an upfront thing. This is a thing where, okay, the upfront bit is now finished. And now as a team, right, let's flick the switch, we're on. And if you're not used to this, it's fine. Nobody's going to get picked on. But just like open yourselves up for what the Lord is going to say. And then we're going to do some worship and just going to seek the Lord for how he wants to bless us.